Sarah, can you step in here a moment?
Sure.
So, big news. You're being promoted to regional sales manager.
That's great to hear, Alan. Thank you.
Talk to corporate. Approve memos. Lead a workshop. Remember birthdays.
40 million songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. Start your 30-day free trial today. Automatically renews monthly or annually. Cancel any time.
Sarah, you can leave now.
Okay.
Thursday, December 28, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every single weekday, and we try to do it with a dose of common sense. We try not to take ourselves too seriously, pretty much just like to point and laugh at the sports world. You know, we are happy to have you with us today. Happy Thursday to you. We have just 4 days left in 2017, and just 2 work days left in the year. We also have just 2 more episodes of the Daily Dose left in 2017 as well. You know, we have a lot to get to today. We do have some news, got some things that we want to talk about in the NFL. You know, we might just have to get a little bit sentimental today. Well, sentimental for us anyways. Plus, as we do every Thursday, we will have our Daily Dose overreactions of the week. It seems like every single week, the sports media world is jamming something down our throat that probably isn't really that newsworthy. We will hit a few of those things today, and we're going to get to all of it right after this.
Sarah, can you step in here a moment?
Sure.
So, big news. You're being promoted to regional sales manager.
That's great to hear, Alan. Thank you.
Talk to corporate. Approve memos. Lead a workshop. Remember birthdays.
40 million songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. Start your 30-day free trial today. Automatically renews monthly or annually. Cancel any time.
Sarah, you can leave now.
Okay.
Okay, let's get to some sports news this morning. It was announced yesterday that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be starting backup rookie quarterback Patrick Mahomes in the Chiefs' final regular season game on Sunday in Denver. Of course, the game is meaningless for the Chiefs. They are locked in at the 4th seed in the AFC no matter what. But Mahomes will be the first rookie quarterback to start for the Chiefs in a non-strike game since Steve Fuller back in 1979. That's a long time ago. I mean, think of how far back that is, 1979? I mean, like, Jimmy Carter was still in office in 1979. And what is funny is that even back then, people were saying it had been a long time since Kansas City had won anything of importance. Kind of tells you where the Chiefs are. Not sure if you saw this, but USC quarterback Sam Darnold evidently will not have a problem if he is drafted by the Cleveland Browns. He was asked Wednesday how he would look in a Browns uniform, and Sam Darnold told reporters that he doesn't prefer any team. He says he would be honored to play for any NFL team. See, I like that. I like that about Sam Darnold. I don't know if Josh Rosen would have said that, but I like that about Sam Darnold. That tells me something. It tells me, like, this kid gets it. Darnold gets it. I like that he's already learned how to deal with the media. I like that he's already learned how to lie. Like, it shows promise. It's Brady-esque, if you will. Sam Darnold's going to be just fine in the NFL. Hey, couple of decent bowl games you might want to watch today. And yes, I did say today, because today at 3:15 Mountain Standard Time, number 22 Virginia Tech will be playing number 19 Oklahoma State in the Camping World Bowl, whatever that is. I have no idea what that is. Could be some decent offense in that game. Then tonight, number 13 Stanford will be playing number 15 TCU in the Alamo Bowl. Pretty solid game. And the final game of the night, number 18, Washington State, will be facing number 16, Michigan State, in the Holiday Bowl. I realize all of those bowl games have these huge corporate sponsor names. We don't read those. So if you're looking at the schedule and you're like, that's not what it was called, that's what we call it. We stick with the old names. By the way, I hope that you join the Daily Dose podcast group over at ESPN's Capital One Bowl Mania, where we pick the college football bowl games. Just looking at that right now. Looks like Bobby Reds is leading the way in our group. Is that Big Rob? Man, Big Rob set this up and now he's winning it? Something seems fishy there. Not sure about that. Papa P is right there lurking in second place. OK is in third place. Not sure who OK is. The Trap Selena is in fourth place. The Trap Selena. Not sure what to make of that name, but The Trap Selena is in fourth. And your host, yes, I am in fifth place and needing a win like Josh Gordon needs a hit right now. Big weekend coming up in the bowl games. Big weekend coming up in our bowl pick'em. Because who's going to win this thing? We will be announcing how those things go next week. Let you know who's winning. Could come down to the championship game the following week. We'll see how these things go, but we'll be talking about the Capital One Bowl Mania pick'em and the Daily Dose podcast group and how we are doing in that pick'em a little bit more next week. Hey, look, we aren't real touchy-feely here at the Daily Dose.
What?
And we're sure not about to start now. I told you we might get a little sentimental today, but we don't really do sentimental. And that's not what this is either. Because was there anything worse when you were like a kid than that week when your favorite TV show did the commercial that was like, next on a very special and very important episode of Different Strokes? No, it was dumb. And it ensured me I could stay playing outside instead of sitting in front of the TV because I didn't want to watch that episode. It was going to be something awkward and horrible. We don't really do sentimental on the Dose. That's kind of a rule of thumb. We're not really going to do touchy-feely. That's just not how we operate. We feel like the Daily Dose is a place for you to escape that stuff, not get sucked into that stuff. So we don't really do that. But I do want to look back at a few of the people that we lost in 2017 in the world of sports. You know, we get inundated with like Hollywood celebrities or musicians or whatever it might be who passed over the past year. Like, you're going to be hearing about that a lot over the next few days. But you might have missed some very noteworthy people from the world of sports that passed. And we wanted to just bring their name up. Again, not getting all sad and weepy. We're not doing that. We just wanted to bring their name up and say, hey, here's somebody who was important in the sports world that we lost this year. And I apologize in advance for anyone that we miss. And I know that we have people that listen to the Dose overseas. Hey, I will be the first to admit, if you lost someone huge overseas, please feel free to send it to me because I don't know enough about it. I kind of focus on American sports. We'll touch on a few things worldwide. But like for the most part, if you're sitting there saying, hey, there was this Hungarian soccer announcer or something that passed this year and you didn't even mention him, my bad. That's on me. Having said that, let's take a look at a few people that we did lose in 2017. You know, the first one we just had this last week, but was Dick Enberg, the epitome of class and dignity. You know, Enberg provided play-by-play for the NFL. He did college football. He did college basketball. He did Major League Baseball. He did tennis. He did golf. You name it, he did it. And Dick Enberg always did it with an understated grace. One of my all-time favorites, had one of the best calls ever.
Draw to Biner. Ernest Biner. Fumble.
Fumble the ball, and Denver has recovered. Oh, my.
When you heard him make that. If you were a child of the 80s or maybe the 90s or even maybe the 70s, and you were an avid sports reader like I was, then you probably read Frank DeFord, who wrote for Sports Illustrated for decades. He wrote a number of critically acclaimed books, including Everybody's All-American. Frank DeFord was named the National Sports Writer of the Year 6 different times. We lost Frank DeFord this year. You know, Michael Jordan made fun of him constantly. And many people blame him for the demise of the Chicago Bulls dynasty. But Jerry Krause was the GM for those Chicago Bulls teams. And he grabbed a lot of players that maybe didn't have as huge of a name as some other people that were out there. He grabbed players like Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant and Bill Cartwright and B.J. Armstrong, and they seem to all fit together very nicely with Michael Jordan. So Jerry Krause takes a lot of heat. He took a lot of backlash, and I know, you know, Michael Jordan made fun of him and called him crumbs and all. Jerry Krause did something right, and if nothing else, he was a huge hoops junkie. You know, we lost Y.A. Tittle this year. He was a 7-time Pro Bowl quarterback, NFL MVP in 1963. He was known for his leadership. He's known for his toughness. Played 17 seasons in the NFL with the Giants, the 49ers, and the Colts. Did you know, you might not know this, Y.A. Tittle actually coined the term alley-oop, talking about throwing up a jump ball for his receivers to go get. He was the first person that at least we know. He started calling it an alley-oop. Y.A. Tittle, who knew, right? Not sure if this guy gets the recognition that he deserves, But Judd Heathcote was a phenomenal coach that we lost in 2017. He's a great coach at Montana. And of course, he had Magic Johnson up at Michigan State. He made Michigan State basketball what it is. And here's the one thing that I always say you look at when you're looking at good coaches. What coaches came from his tree? Here are some of the coaches that came from Judd Heathcote. Tom Izzo, Don Munson, Tom Crean, Kelvin Sampson, Jim Brandenburg, Jim Boylan, Scott Skiles. I mean, Judd Heathcote was as good as it gets. Lost Judd Heathcote this year. We lost the subject of the movie Raging Bull this year because Jake LaMotta was a middleweight and a light heavy that was a brawler, not a boxer, and they made the movie Raging Bull about his life. You know, Jake LaMotta fought Sugar Ray Robinson 6 different times. He only beat him once, but he made Sugar Ray work for every single one of those wins. One of the toughest fighters ever. Jake LaMotta was lost in 2017. This guy was Dr. J before Julius Irving. You know, they say that Connie Hawkins could grab nickels off the top of the backboard. The Hawk went undrafted in the NBA because of his affiliation with a known bettor that was involved in a betting scandal, and Hawk ended up having to sue to even make it to the NBA. He played in the ABL, he played in the ABA, and he played with the Harlem Globetrotters before he finally won his court battle and made it to the NBA. He was way past his prime, but he was still pretty good even when he did get there. You can actually read his incredible story. If you don't know the story of Connie Hawkins and you're looking for a sports book to read, go pick up Foul by David Wolf. Tells the story of Connie Hawkins. I remember reading that, gosh, probably as a teenager. Phenomenal book. Tells an interesting story about Connie Hawkins. We lost Connie Hawkins this year. You know, we lost this guy. He coached one of the biggest underdogs ever to win the NCAA tournament as his number 8 seed Villanova Wildcats pulled off the upset of number 1 Georgetown. Raleigh Massimino got his Wildcats to play one of the most error-free basketball games ever. They barely missed a shot. They didn't turn it over. They didn't miss free throws. You know, Raleigh Massimino won more than 800 games as a collegiate coach. Pretty good coach we lost this year. Speaking of good coaches, a fan favorite at Notre Dame, Ara Parseghian coached the Irish to 2 national championships. But not many realize this. Ara Parseghian actually also won while he coached at Miami, Ohio, at his alma mater, where he had been a teammate of Bo Schembechler. He won at Miami, Ohio. He even restored Northwestern to respectability. And his record at Notre Dame was 95-17-4. Ara Parseghian lost this year. Phenomenal coach at Notre Dame. One of the best boxing managers and trainers of all time. We lost Lou Duva this year. You know, Duva trained a who's who of great fighters. Pernell Whitaker, Michael Moore, Arturo Gatti, Lennox Lewis, Vinny Pazienza, Hector Camacho, Fernando Vargas, Evander Holyfield. In all, Lou Duva handled 19 world champions. We lost him this year. We lost Ferdy Pacheco this year. He was known as the fight doctor. You know, Pacheco was the personal physician and corner man for world heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali. And then, of course, he went on to become a popular TV boxing analyst for several TV networks, beginning in the late 70s, most notably NBC and Showtime. But if you watched boxing in the 70s, 80s, even into the 90s, you saw Ferdy Pacheco. You know Ferdy Pacheco's voice, known as the fight doctor. We did lose Ferdy Pacheco this year. You know, we lost Terry Glenn this year. He was a very good wide receiver at Ohio State. He was actually known for New England Patriots head coach at the time, Bill Parcells, calling him a she because he didn't think Glenn was tough enough to play for him when the Patriots drafted him. But Terry Glenn would go on to catch nearly 600 passes and 44 touchdowns. And Bill Parcells would eventually admit he made a mistake with Terry Glenn. Terry Glenn was killed in a one-car rollover accident back in November. Speaking of a guy who died in an accident this year, a Denver kid that played for Arvada West High School, Roy Halladay, was an 8-time All-Star while pitching for the Toronto Blue Jays and the Philadelphia Phillies from 1998 to 2013. Halladay won 2 Cy Young Awards, and he pitched a perfect game in 2010, but Halladay was killed when the plane he was actually piloting crashed off the coast of Florida back in November. Halladay was just 40. We lost Don Ohlmeyer this year. You know, Ohlmeyer was the first television producer of Monday Night Football, and he was also very instrumental in television coverage for the Olympics, for auto racing, for PGA events, for pro hockey. When you're watching football now, or you're watching sports in general now, and you see the coverage where they whip around from game to game and event to event and that kind of thing, that all comes from the vision of Don Ohlmeyer. Lost him this year. lost the head coach for the Denver Broncos. You know, Red Miller was only the head coach in Denver for 4 seasons, but he did get them to their first Super Bowl after years and years of being a laughingstock in the NFL. You know, when ownership changed, Miller would lose his job, but he was still the head coach of one of the most loved squads in franchise history, that 1977 team that went to Super Bowl XII. Lost Red Miller this year. Another guy with some Colorado ties. We lost Don Baylor. You know, Don Baylor was known as a powerful hitter. He was unafraid to crowd the plate. You want to hit him? Hit him. Baylor didn't care. Baylor won the AL MVP in 79, and he carried that toughness into his managerial style. He was named the NL Manager of the Year in 1995 when he was with the Colorado Rockies. Lost Don Baylor this year. You know, if you want to look back and you want to find one of the coaches that helped the spread offense really take off, you could look at Joe Tiller. You know, Joe Tiller began his coaching career at Wyoming, and he made Wyoming pretty respectable. But then Joe Tiller went to Purdue, and he found just the right quarterback to run his offense. Yet some guy named Drew Brees. We lost Joe Tiller this year. We lost a really highly regarded referee. You know, I know a lot of referees don't have the respect of the players or the coaches, but Jess Kersey was a highly regarded ABA and NBA official. Most remembered image of Jess Kersey is when he was trying to break up a fight between the Lakers' Mitch Kupchak and the Rockets' Hakeem Olajuwon, basically trying to tackle Olajuwon, who had his head in like his chest and his arms wrapped around him. Jess Kersey was absolutely fearless. We did lose Jess Kersey this year. You know, we lost Jack McCloskey this year. He was the architect of those bad boy Detroit Pistons teams, as he was the GM that pulled together talent like Bill Laimbeer, Joe Dumars, John Sally, Dennis Rodman, and Mark Aguirre to come to the Motor City and join up with Isaiah Thomas. Those Detroit Pistons teams had a pretty good run, and Jack McCloskey was the guy that put it all together. We lost Frank Broyles this year. If you're not familiar with Frank Broyles, he actually won football games at Arkansas.
What?
Yeah, never underestimate that. Arkansas went 144-58-5 with Broyles at the helm. And again, look at the great coaches he produced. Frank Broyles had Barry Switzer, Johnny Majors, Joe Gibbs, Hayden Fry, and Jimmy Johnson at one time or another, all coaching under him. Frank Broyles is a pretty good coach. We lost the best coach in the history of Arizona State football this year. We lost Frank Cush. You know, future NFL players who played under Frank Cush at Arizona State include Charlie Taylor, Curly Culp, Danny White, Mike Haynes, John Jefferson, and you might not realize this, but Baseball Hall of Famer Reggie Jackson actually played a year of football at Arizona State for Cush on a football scholarship before he switched full-time to baseball. Frank Cush was pretty good down in Tempe. We lost Ron Meyer this year. You know, he began his head coaching career at UNLV, and he coached for just 2 or 3 years there. In 74, he actually had an undefeated season at UNLV at 11-0, and the Rebels went to the Division II playoffs. They were still Division II at the time. But in 76, Ron Meyer switched over to Southern Methodist University, where he coached until 1981. And yes, this tenure included winning the Southwestern Conference Championship in 81 with that Pony Express team featuring running backs Eric Dickerson and Craig James. Ron Meyer put together some pretty good talent down at SMU. Yes, he did also get SMU the death penalty for paying his recruits. But again, you know, talent. He did do that. We lost Spike Dykes this year. You know, Spike Dykes had a pretty good run while he was at Texas Tech from 1986 to 1999. He was the first coach in Texas Tech history to lead the Red Raiders to 7 straight bowl eligible seasons. And he coached the team in 7 different bowl games. You know, Spike Dykes was the school's first coach to defeat Texas in 6 different seasons. That didn't happen before Spike Dykes. He arrived in Lubbock, and somehow they started to get much, much better. We lost the patriarch of the Matthews family this year, Clay Matthews Sr. You know, Clay Sr. played for 4 seasons with the San Francisco 49ers in the NFL, starting back in the 50s. But then his career was interrupted by the Korean War, and Clay Matthews Sr. became a paratrooper for the Army's 82nd Airborne Division. In 1953, he returned to the 49ers for 3 more years. He played his college ball at Georgia Tech, and he was selected in the 25th round of the 1949 draft by the Rams. He never actually played for them, though. Now, you might hear Clay Matthews Sr. and say, well, yeah, I know Clay Matthews now, but you might not realize this. Clay Matthews Sr. is the father of Clay Matthews Jr., longtime linebacker in the NFL, and the father of Bruce Matthews. He is also the grandfather of Green Bay Packers linebacker Clay Matthews, who is actually Clay Matthews III. Kevin Matthews played for a while with Carolina. And Jake Matthews, I think he still plays for Atlanta. Casey Matthews played a little while with Minnesota. I mean, that's a pretty impressive family tree, all starting with Clay Matthews Sr. We lost him this year. We lost Michael Jackson this year. No, not that Michael Jackson. You might remember Michael Jackson, who was selected by the Cleveland Browns in the sixth round of the 91 NFL draft. You know, he was a big wide receiver that had played his college ball at Southern Miss. 6'4", 195. Jackson played eight NFL seasons from 91 to 98 for the Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. He was actually killed in a motorcycle accident in May. In all, Michael Jackson caught 46 touchdowns. He was a big, strong wide receiver that proved to be a really, really tough matchup for smaller defensive backs. Lost Michael Jackson this year. You know, we lost Vito Babe Parilli. Babe Parilli was one of the AFL's most productive and colorful players, playing for the Boston Patriots back in the 60s. Parilli finished his career with over 25,000 total yards and 200 touchdowns. He ended up among the top five quarterbacks in like 23, 25 different categories, like passing yards, passing touchdowns, rushing yards. Babe Parilli was selected to three AFL All-Star games. In 1964, he was basically just throwing to Gino Cappelletti, but Parilli put up nearly 3,500 yards passing and had 31 touchdowns. Back in the 60s?
You're living in the past, man. You hung up on some clown from the 60s, man.
Which, at the time, was a Patriots record for years until Tom Brady broke it in 2007. And I would bet that like 99.8% of Patriot fans have no idea who Babe Parilli is. Just thought we'd throw that out there. Lost a few people in racing this year. Joe Leonard was a phenomenal race car and motorcycle driver back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. He finished in the top 10 at the Indy 500 four different times. Lost Joe Leonard this year. Also, lost Jim McElreath, you know, another race car driver, and I think he could have drove just about anything. He was a native Texan, a guy that had come up through the circuits with Johnny Rutherford, but McElreath raced stock cars, sprint cars, and he was named the Indy 500 Rookie of the Year in 1962. He also had six top 10 finishes in the Indy 500. We lost Charles Shackelford this year, an excellent rebounder. Shackelford is probably best known for the North Carolina State scandal, where he was getting money and there were rumors that maybe he was shaving points. Or maybe you know Shackelford from one of the greatest quotes that we've ever had from an athlete. Charles Shackelford told reporters that he could shoot with either hand, could shoot left or he could shoot right, didn't matter, because he was amphibious. He never did much in the NBA, and we did end up losing Charles Shackelford this year. We lost Fab Melo this year. You know, Fab Melo was a Brazilian professional basketball player. He played just one season in the NBA for the Boston Celtics before going back home to Brazil. But prior to entering the NBA in 2012, he played 2 years of college basketball for Syracuse and Jim Boeheim, where he was named the Big East Defensive Player of the Year as just a sophomore. But his career came to an end after passing away at his home in Brazil. He was only 26, but they say he died of natural causes. Not even going to go into that. Have no idea what that means. But we lost Fab Miller this year. And finally, the most infamous athlete probably on our list, we lost Aaron Hernandez this year. He was a highly productive player during his three seasons with the New England Patriots, until his career came to an abrupt end after he was arrested for the murder of a semi-pro player named Odin Lloyd. Hernandez was drafted by the Patriots in the fourth round of the 2010 NFL draft. During the 2013 offseason, Hernandez was arrested and charged for the murder of Odin Lloyd, who was dating the sister of Hernandez's fiance. Following his arrest, he was immediately released by the Patriots. Like, they cut all ties with him as soon as he got picked up. In 2015, Hernandez was found guilty of first-degree murder. He was sentenced to serve life in prison without the possibility of parole. While on trial for Lloyd's murder, he was also indicted for a 2012 double homicide, but he was acquitted after a 2017 trial because of a lack of evidence. Back in April, Hernandez was found dead in his cell. His death was ruled a suicide. And in September, researchers at the Boston University CTE Center released a statement diagnosing Hernandez as having brain injuries consistent with CTE, stage 3 out of 4 at the time of his death. There you have it. A number of people that we lost this year. Again, not trying to make it a sad thing, just kind of letting you know, because we don't always hear about some of these athletes that we have lost. There are some important names there on that list, some people that you might not have realized had passed, and some people that had major, major contributions to the world of sports that we wanted to make sure that we gave you before we wrap up 2017. Hey, coming back, we will have our weekly Daily Dose segment. That's right, the best overreactions from the sports media world are coming up right after this.
Say mama. Daddy. Alexa, play the Ting Tings.
That's not my name. That's not my name.
40 million songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. Start your 30-day free trial today. Automatically renews monthly or annually. Cancel anytime.
Hey, just a quick reminder to make sure that you do any of that post-holiday shopping that you need to do over at lootcrate.com/dailydose, where they have the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. January's Loot Crate theme is called Discover, and it features items from Rick and Morty, X-Files, Harry Potter, and Westworld. And if you go over to Loot Crate, you can find items from pretty much any franchise you can possibly think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, whether you get just a single crate, single individual items, or you get a subscription to crates, make sure you enter Daily Dose in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. Okay, now we have to get to our Thursday overreactions this week. You know, every week, we like to just take a look around the sports world and see what overreactions the sports media world might be jamming down our throat. Not real heavy this week, but we did have a few that were being told this week in the world of sports. The first one that I keep hearing about is how LeBron James got fouled by Kevin Durant in the Christmas Day game. You've seen the replay. I'm sure maybe you saw it live. LeBron takes the ball to the rack. Kevin Durant blocks it, gets some shoulder for sure. Was it a foul? Was it not a foul? Yes, it was probably a foul. Here's the thing. It's in Oakland. If that happened in Cleveland, and it was Kevin Durant going to the rack, and it wasn't called, everybody would say, oh, he got a homer call, he got a homer call. It's the same thing. As an official, it is so much easier to give the calls to the home team. Which would you rather have hate you? Like 3 people, including LeBron James, or like 25,000 people in the arena that you're reffing at? You take the easier one. Now, a lot of times when they teach young officials, they will always say, if you have any doubt, always side with the road team, because that's probably going to balance out over time, because just naturally, you give calls to the home team. Didn't happen in this one. They gave the call to the home team, and LeBron, yes, he probably got fouled. Having said that, LeBron, we keep hearing how much bigger and stronger and faster he is. Shouldn't he just be plowing through Durant and dunking on him, not doing this layup thing? So, yeah, that's what happens. Sometimes you don't get calls on the road. I know, shocking. Another thing we're being told this week, anyone besides Tom Brady is going to win the MVP. Right now, the hot name out there is Los Angeles Rams running back Todd Gurley. Maybe he's going to win the MVP instead of Tom Brady. I don't even know if Todd Gurley has been the most valuable running back in the league this year, let alone the most valuable player in the league this year. Now, I've told you in the past, I don't know if Tom Brady is the most valuable player. I think he might be, but I also think that you could probably grab some guy off of a local street, give him to Bill Belichick for a few days, and Bill Belichick could win a few NFL games with him. But I understand. Hey, Tom Brady has been phenomenal this year. He is playing as good as he has ever played. Don't tell me they're going to give this award to a running back who has been great. Todd Gurley has been great. But Jared Goff is the story of the Rams, isn't he? Jared Goff is what has turned the Rams. And what Jared Goff this year has been the difference for the Rams. Todd Gurley is a great running back. Not taking anything away from him. He's not even the most valuable running back in the league, let alone the most valuable player. Kamara, down with New Orleans, probably a little more valuable. I'm also hearing that James Harrison is going to fix the Patriots' defense. Not sure if you saw this or if you heard this, but a number of people are saying, hey, the opportunity meets the needs. The Patriots have been struggling with their pass rush, and James Harrison is going to fix that defense. He's going to give them an edge pass rusher now. I mean, I told you yesterday, I think there's no question James Harrison is going to make a big play in the postseason because of science or math or whatever you want to attribute it to. James Harrison is going to make a big play because that's just how the Patriots, I don't know, seem to work. But let's be real clear. Getting James Harrison isn't that big of a steal for the Patriots. Like, he's about 5 years past really being a solid contributor. On the season, in 2017, remember, we are heading into week 17. He has three tackles. Three. So easy on the James Harrison is going to make over the Patriots pass rush. That's not exactly what you're going to get from James Harrison. Will he come in and work hard? Yes. Will he come in and try to be a tough guy? Yes. Is he going to revamp the Patriots defense? No, that's not going to happen. Slow down on James Harrison fixing everything wrong with the Patriots defense. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and tomorrow is also our final show of 2017. Of course, we will be looking at the latest sports news and stories, and we will also take a look back at the year 2017 in the world of sports. Plus, as we do each Friday, we will look ahead to the best games and events coming up this weekend, and you will have to make sure that you tune in for our final weekly Daily Dose Top 5 of the year. Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for joining our ESPN Bowl Game Pick'em group. Thank you for the questions, the suggestions. Thank you for sharing the show. It is all very, very appreciated. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday, everyone.
Sarah, can you step in here a moment?
Sure.
So, big news, you're being promoted to regional sales manager.
That's great to hear, Alan. Thank you.
Dr. Corporate, approve memos, lead a workshop, remember birthdays.
40 million songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. Start your 30-day free trial today. Automatically renews monthly or annually. Cancel any time.
Sarah, you can leave now.
Okay.